Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. My guest today is culinary activist and ultimate foodie, Anita Stewart. Anita founded Food Day Canada, which celebrated its 10th anniversary earlier this month, and I'm hoping Anita can fill us in on how the latest installment went. So Anita, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks Amanda. It's great to be on your program.
Can you start by talking about or sort of explaining how Food Day Canada works?
Well, I mean, it began as a barbecue that supported the Canadian beef industry, and it has evolved. It has evolved really to a restaurant event that goes from coast to coast to coast that involves about 280 restaurants this year, and they create Canadian-inspired, locally-inspired menus, and I post many of them on the Food Day Canada website, and I just keep up the communication with them with newsletters and Twitter feeds, and you name it, we do it.
And so the restaurant owners, it's by invitation only, as I understand
yes.
it, so what are you looking for?
A commitment to local cuisine, not people who just get on the bandwagon because they'd like to be on the bandwagon. I mean, let's face it, local food is the now hot new button. The word locavore, I think, was the word of the year a couple of years ago. So I do check, and that's the thing. I have to do background, basically just generally poking around, watching websites and seeing even on their website what the commitment is. Some are just amazing, and others not so much. So, you know, that's what I do.
How does the public get involved? Do they just look
Well, they can go to the various restaurants. But the other aspect of it right now, during the month of July, and about the first half of August, I have a map up on the website which they can post. I call the post "Join the Party," and they can add their little picnic table to the map of Canada. And so that's another way. And also too, I mean, just doing it themselves. I'm going to the farmers markets of the area, shopping locally, and making sure that what they're buying is as direct as possible from the various producers that populate the country now so beautifully. It really is quite amazing. The farmers markets of Canada are flourishing. They're the innovators, and I mean, generally speaking, you'll find ingredients at farmers markets. My first book was in 1984 in the farmers markets of Ontario. At that time, we were finding some of the most interesting ingredients, so everything from, you know, black walnuts to various kinds of colored mushrooms. Well, now that sort of thing is a little bit more commonplace, if you would, although the black walnuts probably are, but we do have a fairly good tree nut industry in southwestern Ontario, and certainly in British Columbia, but it's a wonderful way of sort of testing the waters. And you know, when I go to a region, whether it's in the summer or not, as long as there's a farmer's market open, then I can tell what should be on the restaurant menus, and it's pretty easy actually.
Yeah.
But you have to, it's a commitment. I mean, it is a commitment to get up pretty early and go see. But that's where the great chefs of Canada tend to shop, either at the farmer's markets or from vendors that are selling there.
What are some of the latest, greatest food finds that came up this year?
Oh gosh, that's well. I mean, one of them. I was out in Saskatoon on Food Day. Well, 2 days before Food Day Canada, the lentil people brought me out for a big celebration of Dr. Al Slinkard's contribution to Canadian food, and it was the 35th anniversary of his introduction of the layered lentil, which is one of the great benchmarks of the lentil industry globally. Anyway, aside from that, one of the food finds I thought was really awesome were the prairie cherries that were hybridized and brought in from the wild by a graduate of the University of Guelph, Dr. Bob Boris, but he's now heads up the prairie fruit division at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon. They're the best sour cherries I've ever eaten. They are absolutely fantastic. They're full of cherry flavor, and they've got lots of sourness. My only sort of source of angst was the fact that I couldn't buy a basket to make a pie, because I would have loved to have made a cherry pie for him. The other thing that I found there that I thought was really great, and I'm bringing it back here to the University of Guelph to say shake them up a bit. They have a dairy herd at the University of Saskatchewan. They're doing dairy research. So the milk from there, from the cattle or the cows, is being used to create fabulous, absolutely spectacular cheeses. And so, you know, again, the people from the cheese making course there took courses at the University of Guelph, and were, maybe Dr. Art Hill is renowned, well, across Canada, but also across North America for his work in teaching cheese making.
Wow.
So it's really some of those things I just love. I mean, that to me is just fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Well, you mentioned bringing food back to the University of Guelph. Can you talk a bit about your position there as the food laureate?
I was appointed the University of Guelph Food Laureate in November last year that this contract, if you would, began. It's a 2-year position. I've been associated with the university since back in the early 80s, but off and on, I have marveled at what their position is in the food life of Canada. And so this year formalizes, the food laureate position somewhat formalizes it. And my goal is to try to, at least, encourage the different faculties to recognize what each other are doing, in the terms of food research and communication. They've got Ian Mosby, who is a food historian, who just released a very large study on Aboriginal children and how they were being basically abused in the residential school system, right through to teaching at the food science level, people who are doing elemental research in cheese making, ice cream making, honey. We've got experts in bees. In fact, they are the go-to people to talk about what's going on with Ontario's bee population, right through to Mike Dixon, who is working with the European Space Agency and NASA, talk about how we're going to grow food on Mars.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's a huge mandate, and so it's a lot of fun. But basically, I'm talking about stories. Last week, I was into the bean fields here, actually quite close to where I live, talking to the researchers who are bringing news. Dried beans to market. Well, I wanted to see them before they became dried and see what the different characteristics are. You know, if you see a white bean in tomato sauce, the chances are that it's one that's been hybridized at the University of Guelph. The tomatoes are probably from another University of Guelph researcher, Steve Lowen, down near Ridgetown. I was there last week as well, again, to see the tomatoes in the field, and it's extraordinary what the kind of work he's doing down there.
That's very impressive.
It is. It's a lot of fun. As I said, and tomorrow I'm going to Vineland. Just for peaches?
Yeah. Have fun in...
peaches, apricots, and plums.
That sounds like a great way to spend the day.
It's not too bad.
Well, thank you very much for all of that.
You're welcome.
The next Food Day Canada is going to be Saturday, August 2nd, 2014, I believe.
Yes, it is.
And so people can go to fooddaycanada.ca to learn more. And do you want to provide the URL for U of Guelph?
The University of Guelph is just uog.ca.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with the peaches.
Thanks, Amanda.